Romans chapter 14, verse 1, Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Romans chapter 15, and let us notice verse 7, Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We want to preach tonight on receiving one another. Receiving one another. Wherefore, receive ye one another, how? As Christ also received us. How did He receive you? Huh? How did He receive you? Now, we see here in Romans 14 and 15, Paul was dealing with the problem of division in the church. They were divided. They were divided over diets and days. We see there that the weak Christians would eat only vegetables. The strong Christians realized that they could eat anything because all food had been declared clean by the Lord Jesus Christ. The weak Christians would commemorate special holy days, where the strong Christians esteemed all days as special to the Lord. And sad to say, the weak Christians were judging the strong Christians, and the strong Christians were despising the weak Christians. And we'll be reading some of those scriptures in a few minutes. And so we see that Paul identified himself with the strong Christians there in verse 1 of chapter 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. For every one of us pleases, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So in these two chapters, Paul gave three admonitions for us to obey if we're going to have harmony in the church. Now, we want to notice some of these scriptures here in chapter 14. In chapter 14, let us read the first 12 verses there. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every man alike, every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doeth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord. For he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live, we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why doest thou judge thy brother? Or why doest thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of his brother. No, didn't say that, did? So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So I believe here in these first 12 verses, we see very clearly and very plainly here tonight that we are to receive one another. And also here in this chapter, we are to edify one another. Now notice here in verses 13, and read the remaining part of the chapter, where I know we're reading a lot of verses here, but I feel it necessary. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. We're to receive one another. We're to edify one another. We can edify one another in a lot of ways. For meat destroying not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, nor is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which is allowed. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we're to receive one another, we're to edify one another, and we're to please one another. Let's read verse 1 of chapter 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. The Old Testament he's referring to. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You know, we don't always agree. Even all of us that are saved by the grace of God, we all don't agree. And you can divide a church probably a dozen ways. If you start arguing about areas of disagreements, how often have you seen that happen in churches? And I believe Paul laid down some very practical admonitions here, where he says, receive one another. So he was teaching them to receive one another and don't argue. Receive one another, but not for the purpose of carrying on disputes. And that often happens. And so regardless of whether you're strong or whether you're weak, we are to receive one another. Is that what you get out of all that? Don't look down on one another, because this is going to lead to disputing. It's going to lead to despising. It's going to lead to denouncing one another. And it's going to lead to judging. So Paul gave four practical lessons here why we should receive one another and not argue with one another about minor differences. And a lot of times it's just minor differences, isn't it? And so the first practical lesson that we should receive one another is because God has received us. Because He has received us. And so if God the Father has received me into His family, what right do you have to reject me? And if the Father has received you into the family of God, what right have I to reject you? I believe this is what He was saying to him. And so, when God has received someone, you have to receive them. Isn't that right? And so, we should receive one another because God has received us. And we have a hard time with that sometimes. Well, I just don't like the way he acts. I just don't like what they said. How much did the Lord like you when you were sinful, in your sin? And when maybe you might have said some sharp words to somebody, didn't have to do it, but you did it. How did He receive you? Did He just cut you off? Huh? Did He just push you aside? Or did He receive you? Huh? The Lord started dealing with you about it? Get off somewhere, you pray and ask the Lord to forgive you. Did He forgive you? Well, sure He forgave you. You say, well, that brother hasn't asked me to forgive him. You know, the Lord said you're to forgive him anyway. You know. And so, it's possible for us to dispute. It's possible for us to despise one another, denounce one another, judge one another. Now, the second reason that we're to receive one another is because He sustains us. He sustains us. He holds us up. Look at Romans chapter 14 verse 4 there. He says, "Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up. For God is able to make him stand." And so God not only receives us, but He also enables us to stand. And we do need each other. We do need each other. There's no such thing in the New Testament as an isolated Christian outside the church fellowship. Now, did you get that? There's no such thing in the New Testament as an isolated Christian outside the church fellowship. We all need one another. Don't ever think that you're not wanted as a member of Olmsted Baptist Church. And don't ever make somebody feel that way. Let one another know that you love them and that they're needed. And so we all do need one another. Well, we can do without them. We don't need them. You know, that's a very dangerous thing to say. The person that we'll not receive may be the very one that we need. We need to keep that in mind. So God sustains us. We should receive one another. Now, notice in Romans chapter 14 here again, in verse 5, he says, "One man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord. For he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. And whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living." So Paul gave the third reason here why we ought to receive one another. And that is, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. In Romans 14 here in verse 7 through 9, 8 times in these passages, 8 times, Paul mentioned the Lord. Did y'all underline them? 8 times he mentions the Lord. Notice there. "He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord." 8 times he mentions that in those few verses. I'm not Lord over you. And you are not Lord over me. Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't control you. And you don't control me. I'm not king over you, and you're not king over me. I'm not ruler over you. And you are not ruler over me. Y'all see what he's getting at here? And so, don't let anybody lord over you. Don't let anybody take the place of God in your life. He is Lord over us. He is Lord over you. And therefore, that reason we're to receive one another. He is the master. He is our ruler. He is our controller. He is the governor of our life. Nobody else is. And it makes such a big difference in our lives if we would realize that. We wouldn't be judging one another the way that we do if we really got hold of this. And so I don't have the right to tell you what God wants you to do in your life. I can pray for you. I can teach the Word of God to you. I can preach to you. I can counsel with you. I can show you the Word of God. But I can't take the place of God in your life. He is Lord. He is Master, King, and Ruler, and Governor of your life. And then the fourth reason we should receive one another is that Jesus Christ is judge. He is judge. Now, notice here in verse 10 of chapter 14. He says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." You know, I believe we've all probably got enough to take care of if we can just try to take care of ourselves. You know? Instead of looking at our brother and judging our brother, and they may not be dotting their I just exactly the way you dot yours. And they may not be crossing their T just exactly the way you cross yours. You see? Because we're all going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me." Every knee, every one of us are going to bow before Him. And every tongue shall confess to God. Does that do anything to you? I believe that'll help us to be able to try to show us here to how we are to treat our brothers. How we're to receive our brothers and sisters in the Lord. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. To God. To your brother? No. To the Lord? Yes. So every one of us are going to give an account of himself to God. It ain't worth it to fake it or to put on the dog. I guess that's a hillbilly expression, isn't it? No sense in it. We're going to have to stand before God. and give an account to God how we have received our brothers and sisters in the Lord. How we have treated them. How we have received them. Have we received them the way that the Lord has received us? Go back to when you were lost. The day that you confessed your sins and was saved by the grace of God. How that He received you. Before you were saved, you're saved. Man, I did anyway. I thought, man, the Lord won't save me. My life has been terrible. And steeped in sin about as steep as a man could be. The Lord won't receive me. But you know what I found out? He did receive me. And I know how He received me. Y'all know how the Lord received you? You all know too, don't you? That's exactly the way that we're to receive one another. You think about that. And so, the next time we get to arguing and fussing and fighting and disagreeing with our brothers over some little trifle thing, we need to stop and realize what's contained in this lesson here tonight. Receiving one another. And so the Lord is not going to ask you to give an account for me. He's not going to ask me to give an account for you. We're all going to have to give an account for ourselves. And there's no escape. You're here tonight and you're lost without Christ. You're also going to have to stand before the Lord. And you're going to have to give an account to the Lord why you didn't receive Him. You're born in sin. And the reason you need to be saved more than anything tonight is because of the sin of unbelief. You've gone all of these years of your life and haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You haven't received Him. And if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to receive Him. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You're here tonight and lost, not saved. You may be standing before Him in another hour. We don't know. None of us know. And seeing that none of us know, the wisest thing for you to do, the Holy Spirit of God is worked on your heart, caused conviction over that sin of unbelief, is to respond. Come. And this is the reason we give an invitation for you to respond. Respond to the gospel. You know, the day I was saved. The day I was saved, I was the biggest Armenian there was. Probably every one of us were. Because all I knew what to do was just, I just came forward. The Holy Spirit of God was working on my heart and really showed me what I really was inside of God. And that I realized all my sins that I'd committed was against the Lord Jesus Christ. I never saw that before. But I did that day. And I repented. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I want to receive You as my Savior. I receive what You did for me. Maybe you'd like to come tonight. Have you received one another? You got outs? Are you at outs with your brothers and sisters? Is there something there between you? It might be one little teeny old thing that they were disputing over.
One said they was just going to eat vegetables, and the other said it was all right to eat just anything because the Lord had put his approval on it and so on. You know, sometimes it can be just a little teeny little old thing. But that's how those little things sometimes grow into great big things. If it's let go. How do you stand before one another? Are you receiving one another? Or is there some reservations?